Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Star Chamber Show, episode number 96. And so far tonight, it's just myself and Holly Phillippe on the line at the moment. How are you doing tonight, Holly?
I'm doing well, preparing for this lovely Christmas holiday.
Well, we're going to get you in the right mood because this is the Star Chamber Show Christmas special, a show that we spare no expense on, a show that we go to all lengths to bring you the best show of the year. And tonight, it's exciting. You all have had your you all have been dreaming of this guest for a while. And as you can hear, we've got the one. Oh, the crowd's already cheering. I think he's in the studio. It's the one, the only, Tommy B. Smith. Welcome to the Star Chamber
Woo!
Show again.
Greetings, friends. Good to be back.
Welcome, Tommy.
I meant to play a dream harp for you too there, but I guess we shot our budget on the crowd cheer.
But even if we did,
we gave them all sandwiches and potato chips and got a pretty good group together. But but as many Star Chamber Show listeners know, Tommy is one of our absolute favorite individuals, and he's been a co-host on several of our special shows and holiday specials. And he is an author extraordinaire, as I called him in some of the promo posts. He is also a musical whiz. He won't admit it, but he is. And then of course he's our favorite, one of our favorite, absolute favorite co-hosts that we have. So tell us, what have you been doing, Tommy, since we last met on the show?
Well, it's been a little while, so quite a bit. Been busy with some forthcoming projects. 2018 looks to be a much busier year than 2017 was. Actually, this has been a fairly low-key year, but next year should be interesting, and I'm guessing that's probably going to be the case for all of us here in some form or another. But
Well, unfortunately, yeah, our year, Holly's and mine, were definitely not low-key. we're kind of limping to the finish line here and hoping for a little more of a low-key 2018, but unless it gets busy for good reasons. But we'll be trying.
Yeah, unless we're filming TV shows. Yeah, let's hope it slows down.
Yeah, we can handle it if we're on filming a TV series. We'll definitely accept the busyness of that, but... are you allowed to divulge anything toward 2018, or is it strictly under wraps?
I can give a bit of information on that. Actually, it's going to there's going to be a book tour. There's a book release coming next year, The Mourner's Cradle, from Crystal Lake Publishing. So
cool.
There's been a bit of a delay between releases for me, but finally, I'll have something new coming out. I've had a number of people ask me when I was going to have something new out, and I haven't been able to tell them much for a while, but that'll be coming. And there will be an accompanying book tour. And also, there is going to be somewhat of a feature on this book tour. There's going to be somewhat of a I'll phrase it like this. Some of this material will be recorded along the way. There will be somewhat of a retrospective feature regarding this book tour. So, and
cool, like a documentary type deal.
And some people may unwittingly become a part of this along the way, so just be warned.
Cool.
Awesome.
So I have, it's not something that I've done before as yet, but we'll see how it goes. And got a few people who will be involved in that. And there'll be more to come of that, more news on that front as that kicks off.
Very
cool. That's a really interesting.
Yeah, well, I hope your tour reaches this neck of the woods so that we can get behind you up in the bluegrass state here and rouse up some fans to come out to check you out, and especially if you got a documentary, rockumentary, whatever it may be, up your sleeve here. That'll be an added bonus.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm already slated to be at Imaginarium at the very least, so I will be up there at least once, if not more.
Yes.
So certainly see you guys up there then. And yeah, this will be just something to chronicle the journey of this from the book's release up and through the book tour down till the end. So, I'll be up
awesome.
That way eventually. Mm-hmm.
That's cool. We'll come out and join you late night off your tour bus when you go into get some White Castles as a late night snack or something like that. You know,
here
in Kentucky. That'll
Castle
make for
run.
Good. That'll make for a good scene in whatever project it is.
Oh, definitely.
But
I'm sure there'll be all sorts of shenanigans here and about.
But I want to see the.
Oh,
I want to see. I want to. On the side of whatever vehicle it is, you got to put the picture of you in the shades, man, because that is just awesome. People want to follow you to whatever stops you're going on, because that is an epic shot. Actually, Kylie Jude was commenting, she thinks it's a great picture, but she was commenting that because that shot is in black and white, and on our promo pictures for the show, we had mine in color and Holly's in color, and yours is in black and white on the on our little graphic. And so Kylie was telling me, it says, he looks kind of like a ghost. And I was like, that's right. I said, Tommy B. Smith is the Star Chamber Show's ghost of Christmas present, past, and future.
You could tell her that I was just going to be on the show in spirit and that I wasn't actually going to be here. And that's
nice.
Well, Eric would be on the show both in spirits.
Spirits.
Having some bourbon. Oh, he got tied up into some obligation tonight, unfortunately, so he's regrettably not going to be joining us on the air. We should get some good calls tonight, hopefully, because this is a unscripted, not that any of our shows are scripted, but no theme, no topic, no holds barred, as I like to say. So we can go any direction we want to, have fun, join the chat room, call in. We do have a call-in number, 619-639-4616, 619-639-4616. And this is the last show before Christmas, so this is technically the Christmas special. So yeah, you can all make it a holly jolly Christmas, as we like to say.
Yay! Yeah,
and actually,
Holly
Seven
Jolly.
Star Press, Tommy, we can, because Dan Jolly is with us, and so is Holly. So we literally can have a Holly Jolly Christmas.
That's right. Me and Dan are teaming up.
Excellent.
Now, Tommy's going, oh, my God, why am I on this show? Why am I on the show?
What have
wandered
into?
Oh, man.
Well, I think the last time.
Well, I'm glad
on one of the holiday shows. It was a Christmas Eve show. So this is a Christmas Eve show.
That would have been a lot of taking up a lot of real estate on our graphics, though. So that's why we didn't type all that in. Well, maybe the follow-up tomorrow when we advertise the stream download version, you know, we'll have to write that in there, the Christmas Eve show. But we're definitely looking forward to the conclusion of the year in some ways. In other ways, this has been an exciting year, and it's been the best of times and the worst of times. I mean, for sure. It's been on our end, it's been a grueling year, but yeah, I know we did get to catch up with you a little bit during Imaginarium. I mean, the only thing I sound like a broken record, but I hate the fact that in Imaginarium I don't get more time to hang out with everybody that I'm friends with and like, because we're always getting pulled in 40 directions. But as you were sporting a new haircut at Imaginarium. And,
yeah, that was interesting because I had a couple of people who actually didn't recognize me until I got up close.
Yeah, we know you well enough that we kind of figured out who you were, and you were doing your usual ninja thing where you snuck up unnoticed before, you know, we knew you were there, that kind of thing. But it was definitely a cool the convention part of it was definitely a cool layout, and I hope you enjoyed this year's Imaginarium.
Oh, I did. It was a good show. It is every year. Every year it's slightly different. I know you guys are constantly modifying and working to improve the convention and trying new things. And so there's always a new angle to each year, it seems.
Yeah.
But it's always an enjoyable show.
Well, we actually
try to
have
mix it up.
Larger. Your timing is good for the visual media project because we're actually going to have a larger dose of the from the film screenwriting side of things. We just recently announced Sci-Fi Channel favorite Christopher St. Booth is one of our imaginators, and he knows an awful lot about production and things in horror and things like that. So he's a guy that's right up your alley to talk to. And we're working on another big name film-related guest right now, and we also just announced Lana Reed's going to be returning. 2 years ago, she and Brian Dobbins and Nancy Pushkar were down here. Lana was down here, and not long after that, they had the movie Western World released, which actually got international distribution. It's a Western feature. So Lana has taken a big stride since she last visited Imaginarium, and she was not here last year, but she will be this coming year. And so there's a number of folks that are, definitely that you'll want to meet and talk to when you come back, Tommy. It's going to be, a nice mix of new faces and familiar faces.
Well, I don't doubt lots of creative magic should abound once again, and should be an interesting turn of events to look forward to.
Yeah, we also, since you last were with us too, we also announced a new thing, and it's a bit of news for the audience, but the Imaginarium Initiative.
Yeah.
And this is our project of Imaginarium by which we are going to help those in need through the creative arts. And our first target is going to be Lee County, Kentucky. It's the Eastern Kentucky region, unfortunately, has several of the annual most economically challenged counties in the entire United States. I mean, most impoverished, poorest counties in the entire United States. And I could go on about some of the stories there, but it's really heartbreaking, the kind of struggle that the school systems and the kids in those areas go through. And we are in a good position to actually bring a lot of uplift. I think through the creative arts, we can provide some real rays of light. We can reach a lot of kids that have creative talent. There certainly are many in that region that have, definitely are talented when it comes to being creatives. And then we also are going to be able to directly support the libraries and the schools and stuff by organizing book drives, which is going to be getting underway right away in January. So be on the lookout for that. And then we're also going to facilitate guests visiting those areas, whether it's their public libraries, school systems, and holding like workshops and seminars and things like that. And in the long run, I'd love to see us get to a point where we can facilitate scholarships and some things that are more material support, maybe helping getting camera systems and computer equipment, things like that for these schools. But that is a new project and something I think that, everybody that's involved with Imaginarium, will be very proud of being associated with. And I don't know how much you know about Eastern Kentucky, Tommy, but it's definitely a region that's been, just hit hard and, really, really struggling. So this can make a real difference. And I'm really pumped about that.
Well, I saw the initial post, so I would certainly look forward to getting involved with something like that as well. And I think a lot of other people would as well. There are a lot of creators there. Speaking of Imaginarium, that I don't doubt would contribute to something like that.
Yeah,
we've had several that that have commented, you know, that they would love to get aboard.
Yeah, we're looking at January for the first book drive, and already got some interesting emails. We can't comment publicly on them, but we already got some interesting emails discussing, you know, some possible book donations of very sizable amounts. So that's going to be a great thing if we can kick off the new year and with a bang and see, you know, boxes and boxes of books going to the libraries. I'm not kidding you. The contact person that is coordinating with us in Lee County said that, for instance, in their high school, middle school, they only can get, I mean, with everything they can scrape up, 8 to 12 books a semester. That's it. 8 to 12 books a semester is what they can bring into their high schools and high school library and middle school library, just, you know, with what they are able to scrape up. And a lot of that's even through, like, just getting some outside grant stuff and, you know, and funds from other sources. So, I mean, we're talking like, I mean, you know, our publishers and authors and everybody that's involved with this, I mean, we can make a huge difference, you know, in terms of getting, you know, a great, you know, great quantity, I think, of books going in that direction. And to this area, it matters. I mean, this, it'll make a big difference with the kids down there. It really will. So I'm pretty pumped about that. And that definitely fits with our Christmas theme. You know, that's definitely going to bring some good cheer and some good support to the, you know, a lot of kids that haven't had it. So, and that's going to be really cool. But we'll be doing a big drive at Imaginarium. Count on that for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe Tommy can do a special celebrity autograph session or something like that. And, you know, proceeds to charity for every 8x10 you get with Tommy.
Yeah, there you go. That's an idea.
Well, Holly, we've got a couple callers on the line. I'm going to have to go screen them make sure who we have here.
I was wondering I know I heard you cut out, so that's probably what it was.
So you raise hell, Tommy, for a second with Holly, and I'll be right back with at least one guest caller, hopefully two.
All right.
Hold on a second.
You never know. You like, surprise, surprise. I want to give a shout-out to Daniel Dark. I'm chatting with him. He just he's resting right now and not able to call in. He usually hosts with us, but I just want to tell him hello. We're thinking about him, and he's been doing his things at local libraries and bookstores and trucking along there. So, but have you had a chance? Well, you probably have not had a chance to read his book yet, Knife's Tale. Tommy?
Not quite yet.
Not yet. You would enjoy it, I think. I think that'd be one that you'd actually really, really, really enjoy.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll have to mark it down on the list and get to
it. Yeah, you'll have to check it out.
Eventually,
yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I've actually just finished one, so I'm open for reading suggestions. So,
well, there you go. That's a good one. And it's not real long, you know, so it doesn't take forever to get through. And he writes in, like, first person, Jack the Ripper.
Oh,
but, yeah, it's interesting. Stephen's back.
We're talking about Daniel. I caught the end. Daniel Dark, yes.
Of course.
He's listening, Stephen. He's listening. He may or may not be joining in tonight, but you know, we'll have to see. But yeah, be on the lookout for his message, Holly, because if he wants to come on, we'll bring him on.
I'm talking to him.
But I do have a guest caller who I am going to bring on, and I can't remember. Has he been on the show before? He has a Creative Flame YouTube channel. And, of course, you knew him as one of our star photographers at Imaginarium. And he is an author, a super creative, a super guy. And he is on the road tonight, actually, driving. And called in and is willing to be on the show. This is David Sheridan. You are on the Christmas special. How are you doing?
Hi,
oh, I'm
David.
Doing awesome. Hi, Holly. It's awesome being here. And I've
you know, I'm usually in a chat room, but, you know, being on the road driving, it's not safe to chat and drive.
No. No, I wouldn't advise that.
No.
Well, we're glad
you'd be
you're
pulling
on the
show. As I said, I'm glad you called.
Oh, yeah. I always like to be in on this with you guys, but, you know, I don't want to intrude. You guys always have such awesome conversations going, and, you know, I learn a lot, and I enjoy a lot of your show. So
I say the more the merrier. Tonight, so good to hear from you.
There you go. Tommy's got it right.
Tonight you get to be on the show with Tommy B. Smith.
That's awesome.
I don't know if you downloaded our previous holiday shows from way back when, but Tommy's been on some of our legendary epic shows on the Star Chamber in the past.
Yep.
And he's the sober one. He always kept Eric and myself, you know, on course. You know, he was the one that was our so to speak designated driver while we usually hit the bourbon. But he keeps an eye out for us.
Well, that's good.
Somebody needs to.
Well,
I don't mind
them
because we're on Star Chamber show, and especially on a holiday show, we have to drink a set amount of bourbon at least. So when Tommy's in the show, I get to drink his share, which means I get more. So that's even better.
Oh, joy for me.
Now, see, I'm not a bourbon drinker, but you can pass me the eggnog. We'll be fine.
Well, cool. I get three more shares then. Thank you. And since Holly doesn't drink, I can drink her share, which means that I'm really set.
This means you're drinking everyone's share.
That's
God,
pretty much Steven. Yeah, that's in a nutshell right there.
Oh, it's the holiday.
So where are you holding this first book drive at?
Well, Imaginarium is going to be a big one. We're going to really target that.
Right, but you said
you're going
to have one in January.
Yeah,
we are working out the details. We are going to have a shipping where we're going to be able to have people send their books that will be transported directly to the library system. And by that, I mean adult books are definitely going to be – a lot of those are going to be funneled into their public library down there. But then, you know, young adult and appropriate adult books and things like that are going to be distributed to the middle school and high school. And actually due to budget –
yeah, that would be awesome.
They had to combine the two. So it's one, I guess it's one building right now, because they had to combine the middle school and high school due to financial situation. And so, you know, this definitely, you know, I'm telling you, it'll make a big impact. And,
oh, yeah, because I know growing up in high school, I read every book in our library. So, yeah, the influx of books is important.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Changing around, you know, because like you said, they read every book there, you know, they're faithful little readers, and they need new subjects, they need new books.
Yeah, they are creative. They're talented, they're smart. They just need a little boost, they just need a little uplift, and this is a way that we can become part of the solution. We're not going to be able to solve all the problems, obviously, in the region, but hopefully we can reach a few kids and help them, you know, have something to hold on to and, you know, really look forward. Because, I mean, I'm telling you, the area is really depressed as far as, like, there's a lot of drug problems and things like that throughout that region. Right. And because, you know, obviously it always comes with an economically depressed area. So, you know, we'd like to hopefully present a alternative path for a lot of kids and hopefully get them to look to the future with a little more of a positive bent than they may have otherwise have had. And
you never know what book is going to actually inspire them or touch them. Because, you know, with us being readers ourselves, you know, we have books that stand out that we read when we were middle school or high school, or that we still can remember, that still inspired us to do something or touched us or left a mark. So,
all right,
you know,
Holly, what was the first book that you read that you remember that really impressed you?
That I can remember. Okay, Where the Wild Things Are.
All right. I'm really excited because the movie's coming out now for A Wrinkle in Time. That was one of the first ones I remember.
Yes, that was one I enjoyed when I was younger as well, quite a bit. So it was actually one that came to mind when you mentioned that. So.
Yeah, for me, I was in the dark for years and years and years up until a couple years ago when I read Pieces of Chaos by Tommy B. Smith. That's the first time I was inspired, truly. And that's,
Excellent.
Not people don't know that, but, because I usually say Lord of the Rings, when my mom read it to me when I was seven, was when I had the flame lit. But, now, I have to say that, it was Tommy. And, that's... But
that's
actually,
awesome.
I'm saying
it's,
that because it's a damn good book you wrote there. That is a damn good book. We are not FCC regulated, by God, so I can say that word and get away with it.
Well, and come to think of it, I had this little crazy book, and I still got that little thing that a first grade teacher gave me, and it's called Pierre Doesn't Care. And it was a French story. It was about this little boy. And it involved a lion, Stephen. I'll have to find it. I've got it around here somewhere. But this boy did all kinds of terrible things. And they would tell him, well, someday you're going to care. Because he'd say, I don't care. They'd say, well, you're going to get hurt if you don't get off that chair. I don't care. And the whole little thing. Well, I still enjoy that little book. It's so cool. And I've never seen another one like it. And, I mean, that goes back. Well, here it is. I just found the little sucker. But, yeah, we're talking all the way back to first grade. That's been a long time. But I keep that in my desk. Yeah, it's called Pierre. It was written by a Marie Sendak. And it was a Scholastic book. But, yeah, it says to Holly, Merry Christmas, Miss Wright. And that was my first grade teacher. So, yeah, I mean, you just don't know.
It just shows you how far-reaching reading carries in our life.
That's the truth.
Yep.
It's the
certainly
truth.
Can.
Yeah.
Especially
now
when you're
there
young
was
and
a book.
I think.
Now, there was a book series
exactly.
of The Lion that did inspire me right after Lord of the Rings. So my mom got me this little series that none of you have heard of called The Chronicles of Narnia, and it had Aslan.
Oh!
So there's – yeah, there's by a guy named C.S. Lewis. But, yeah, there's – so I did have a series with a – I did have a series with a lion that inspired me, by God. So
well, I did, too. I had old Pierre.
Yeah.
Oh, and I do want to give a quick shout-out, because they're messaging me, to Will and Trevor Hutchinson. They were going to call in tonight. They are in New York City, but they're sitting in the theater watching Phantom of the Opera, and they can't call in. But I'm giving them a shout-out.
That's awesome.
They're sending me pictures. It's beautiful, absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, they are awesome. And Will is a brand-new – first ever intern officially at Seven Star Press. After 10 years, it took us 10 years, but we finally got an intern. You see, we spare no expense. We sent Will and his father to New York to see Phantom of the Opera. That's what we'll claim.
Yeah.
And if y'all believe that,
I
got a whole lot.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, you'll likely have a big line of would-be interns lining up now.
Yeah, now they'll line up.
And we will put them to work because we got plenty enough to do.
Lord have mercy.
No, Will's a great kid, and he's fired up, and he's actually an extremely talented writer in his own right. So he's
he's been reading Stephen's books since he was like 10, and he's like a college student now. So yeah.
Yeah, he's a college student. He actually, the way I first met him was he was a reader of my epic fantasy series, which is not young adult. And he was reading that at 10 years old. So, that's where
incredible.
I first met Will.
He's very bright, very bright.
And, folks, that is how relationships will develop sometimes in the book world. It's a really cool thing. You get to know readers that become friends over time and eventually interns. And now we're going to do our best to discourage Will from pursuing a writing career.
So if you want to keep your sanity, don't do it. It's all downhill from here.
It only gets
worse.
That's
what we go telling everybody.
Yeah. Well, I think there's some
Tommy
sort of
knows.
A thing about that. That
Tommy
yeah,
knows,
Tommy
yes,
knows.
You're half crazy to go into this. It's definitely not the lucrative piles of cash that come every month, you know, from book sales. That's for sure.
Oh, no.
God, that'd be great.
It helps.
That'd be great.
Slightly delusional.
That's true.
Oh, man.
That's true. And also,
yeah,
David, Daniel is asking me to ask you, what do you have in the works at the present or near future?
What I have in the works? Oh,
yeah.
I've got a lot. I'm looking. I'm talking to a publisher. I might be doing some graphic art design for their book covers. I've also got a couple of. I'm going to try to get out to as many conferences as I can. I've got to get my book off to a publisher, which I don't want to give the details out yet because we got to see how it goes. But I got to get
right.
that done. So. I've got, I'm doing my, creative, flame. The second one will be coming out here January 1st. So I got a lot of little things going on. So it's going good.
Busy, busy,
and
busy.
Daniel, thank you.
I will. He's listening.
I hope he feels better because he wrote me early. It was going to be in this month's coming video, but, you know, him feeling as bad as he has, you know, I'm just hoping he recovers and feels better.
Well,
yes, we do.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And you also be able to follow up, too, because last week you were going to Frank Hall's new gaming store grand opening.
It was awesome. Went down there. I got there before the crowd. Hung out with Frank. He was he's working hard down there. He's got a lot going on. He's got a lot of people coming in there. He had a really nice crowd show up for the grand opening. I sent the pictures to him, and then I took a lot of video, which I'm going to turn into a little commercial for him. He doesn't know about it yet, so. But I'm going to turn that into a little commercial for him so he can put that out on Facebook or whatever. So, yeah, it was a great time. Then I went down to see Tim Shackelford and ran into Robin, and it was a really great day.
So you did see Robin. Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Nice. We didn't make it down there, but we actually slept in a little bit, but we had to make our rounds and do our family thing up there, Lord help me.
Yeah, it was a
well. You guys
tornado
need a little bit of
family
sleep
stuff.
Once in a while.
A little bit, a little bit. But we did have a good dinner at the Osgood Legion. I will give the Legion and Osgood a shout out. We had a great Christmas dinner there. My dad's a retired Army drill sergeant, so we went with them to the Legion Hall, and we had a good time. And my granddaughter seen Santa and all that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So what are you guys doing for Christmas?
Oh, man. Who knows? Mommy,
we will be home, actually. We will be home, and me and Courtney, I believe, Steven's sister, will make the traditional Christmas dinner that him and his parents used to have. We did it last year and nailed it on the head. Steven liked all the food, said that it was spot on, but me and Courtney actually know how to cook, so we got this. So, yeah, we could do this.
Yeah, we resumed a Christmas tradition. Yeah, my mom had a traditional dinner for years. I mean, as long as, she was alive. I mean, we had a specific dinner. And last year, Courtney and Holly knocked it out of the park and actually replicated it perfectly. I mean, so it was awesome. We got to, since my mom passed in 2013, this is the first year we got to resume that meal, and it was great. So I'm definitely looking forward to that, and definitely going to have some bourbon. And it's going to be, definitely going to be a nice, relaxing Christmas. I hear Eric Jude, who is uncanny with his weather prediction, says that we can expect a white Christmas. He says snow is probably coming in Christmas Eve to Christmas Day. So we should be getting some.
If we get snow, I want snow snakes too.
That's right. We're waiting on snow snakes.
that That might be what Tommy's involved with next year. Yeah,
that's what it is. Tommy, you're on back, man.
One never knows. I suppose that'll be up to the colonel. We'll see.
Yeah, the colonel.
It's the layer of the snow stake. Yeah.
The colonel has
got to have snow.
The colonel has been elusive, but I can neither confirm nor deny that we are going to be reviewing a rough cut of Raiden Valkyrie Saga of a Lionheart here by this weekend. And
excellent.
Rumor has it that the first cut is done, and I need to look it over and, you know, see if we need to make any adjustments. But yeah, we're closing in. So I think the Colonel and Kylie have been a little bit busy on their end, but hopefully, they'll be able to dive into Snow Snakes 2 before too long.
Yeah. Well, I talked to Eric a few times, and he was really thrilled with the cut they got ready for you. So I'm excited to hear what you guys think when you see it.
Yeah. I know I'm excited to see it. Very excited.
Yeah, because Kylie's been working her tail off on it, I tell you, because I, used Marco Polo. It's a great, great app. But, yeah, Kylie and I keep in touch a lot through Marco Polo, and I'm telling you, she checks in with me, and we talk about it, and it's, you can just see, she's putting in a lot of hours on this. And we did release a picture that showed one scene on the computer screen that shows you all the different pieces on Adobe Premiere that are part of the scene, and it's insane how many things are in each of these scenes. It's a lot of detail, and
yeah.
I know David can relate because he's an Adobe Premiere guy.
Oh yeah, I do
guy,
little
so.
Skits, nothing like a full movie, but my little skits take a lot of work, and I know what she's doing is just it's flat out hard work.
Yeah,
it's crazy. She's been at this for months, about 24/7. This is what this, it's about all she's got done. It's grueling, but it'll sure be worth it in the end.
Yes, I'm sure it will.
Yeah, a lot of people, they want to see it like yesterday, but the thing is, you just with something this important, something where so much is riding on it to possibly get a first season. I mean, you do not want to release something like that until you are absolutely ready. So you've got to make sure it's ready. You cannot put your B quality one forward. You got to make sure that it's your A game.
Or you can't make a masterpiece in one night.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely something. I know it's taking a little time, but this one's crucial because it's not just the pilot. I mean, we are going after a full series, so there's a lot riding on it. So yeah, we got to make sure we do it justice so that, all the people involved have a shot at doing a full season with us, hopefully.
Right.
And give Brock the role that he needs to do. Yes. Definitely.
Yes. Brock needs
to do that. Do you have any more movies in the future plan?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But again, I don't want to get ahead of, it's a step-by-step thing. I don't want to just dive into 400 different things and spread thin. I have to make sure that, taken. So definitely have other plans, but it's, we need to make sure we get this right, to make sure this is the next step. And that's
Tommy B. Smith has got to be in the next one now. I don't know. He was elusive on Raiden. Where was Tommy at?
That's right.
Where were you?
Come to see us
in general. So
that's true.
I don't even know where I was
then. We told him last year he had an open invitation to be on set, and he did not. I just realized that right now on the show here. Right
now, Tommy wasn't there.
He did not show up.
No.
I don't even know where I was then. That elusive.
Well, he wants to be surprised by the whole thing.
That's what it is. That's what he didn't want spoilers.
No, Tommy's
very
demanding. He wanted to make sure that we had our crap together before he decided whether or not he'd be on a show with us. So he's waiting to see the pilot, and
I'm afraid you guys have some more work to do. Then,
if it's to his standards, he'll be in the first season.
There you go.
That'd be awesome.
There you go.
I can see Tommy as like a sorcerer, you know, real wise and well-learned sorcerer, you know, several hundred years old or something like that. He could pull that off. He has a lot of sagacity. So, yeah, I'm definitely thinking of some possibilities for him in season one, if he dares make it up here for that.
Well, that would certainly be an undertaking. One never knows.
Yeah, of course. Then I expect to make a cameo in one of Tommy's short films based on his works. If he gets a series going.
Oh, I'm sure something of that nature will result.
I can be the unruly.
I don't see going on the road and doing a
bar,
video tour,
you know,
diary and Steven Zimmer not popping up somewhere in there.
Yeah, we'll pop up somewhere when you least expect it, Tommy. When you least expect
it.
We're like ninjas.
Yeah, Tommy could poke his head to some murky bar, and I could be like in the corner looking all belligerent and defiant in the corner, you know, sitting there with a bottle of bourbon.
Oh, there's a nefarious character in the corner with the Kentucky gin. Here we go.
Right. Being my reclusive self, yes. Oh, Lord. If only.
Occlusive or elusive. Yeah.
I always dream of the day of taking a writing sabbatical. That's like the holy grail. Yeah, just being able to just take off and just write in some exotic location. That would be awesome.
Let's go.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be productive. I find I got to be busy. I write better when I'm busy.
Oh, I'm trying to get back into it. I've got some ideas on some stuff. I got disrupted quite a bit this past few months just because of the way everything has gone. I mean, schedule-wise. But hopefully, like I said, I've been getting back into it, and I'm hoping to get a good rhythm going. And I want to bring some tales of both Raiden and Ragnar out, and I'm not talking just in novel form. But should be some stuff coming down the pike in that area not too long from now. Because I'd love to tell Ragnar's backstory.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, just so you know, yeah, when you see Brock on screen, you'll know a little more about his backstory.
That's good, because I don't even know. So, guys, I don't even know. He won't tell me stuff because he's always like,
nope.
Well, I want you to read it. I want you to read it and be surprised.
I'm secretive.
Yeah, so even I don't know what the heck's going on. He'll come out of his writing room, be all, you know, snickering and stuff, and he'll be like, oh, wait till you read this. And I'm like, what? You have to wait.
Are you like that, Tommy? Are you secretive?
Oh, somewhat. I don't usually. Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. He knows what I'm talking about.
Are you that way, David?
Okay.
No,
are you
I don't
that way, David?
Nobody in my family is a reader, so no one wants to read my stuff anyway.
So you don't have them hounding you.
I could leave it out, laying all over the house, and they'll just toss it aside. They don't care.
Oh, no. No, I've got to be nosy. I got to read it.
Right. Well, Tommy, I know has huge expectations of me, so I want to let you know, Tommy, that a couple weeks ago I did hand in a new novel to my editor, and it's my very first YA novel. It's called Dream of the Navigator. It's in the first book of the Faraway Saga, and I even have a cool hook line for it. It's 1984 meets Chronicles of Narnia. There you go. Dystopian meets the supernatural. Yes. And,
sounds like something I'd read.
Something crazy, but it's definitely YA, and I've always wanted to do a YA novel and kind of broaden my palette just a little bit as a writer. And it was a challenge because I had to kind of really focus on word usage. with YA. I really had to, because some of my other books, I tend to get a little literary at times. So this one I had to really focus on word choice for a YA audience. And so it was really interesting, the process. And Holly has read it, and she's an avid YA reader, and she definitely said that, it is YA. It is YA.
It's not like a middle school. It's more of like a high school, maybe late middle school, high school on up. Very good book.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot.
But I'm hoping that my editor feels the same way. So we're just going to wait and see. But so far, he hasn't thrown it back at me yet. So that's good news. But
Daniel just said his is YA. No, I don't think so, Daniel. No. Dear God.
His is more of a Daniel's is more of a children's book.
Cover's
book,
not
think,
YA.
More of a children's book, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'd like to read that to a children's group, see how that would go.
Maybe
Tommy would like Daniel's book. Tommy has an
I told him that
intellect
that
he would love it.
That's what Holly was telling me before.
Yeah.
Tommy would really enjoy it. Yeah.
Well, I can certainly mark it down on the list. Give it a read.
Well, I'm gonna get off both of you.
Definitely.
Yeah, David and Holly, you two need to read Pieces of Chaos, because I'm always gonna sing the praises of that book, because. Yeah, Tommy's got a killer short story collection in that one.
I added to my list. I got a long list of books I'm trying to get through.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. My stack gets bigger by the day.
Yeah, I've got.
Well, now that I know all y'all, I got to add all your books in, too.
That's it.
Well, let me tease you some more. There may or may not. I can neither confirm nor deny there may be a character in this new YA novel that is based and inspired by Dubious the Cat. So,
yay!
Well, you never can go wrong with that in a story.
Yes, Dubious make an appearance.
Oh, yes. I can neither confirm nor deny that. Yeah, because you never know. The editor may say, well, that character is a complete disaster, you know.
So, Steven, since I don't have you on Marco Polo, were you going to
Yeah, because he hasn't added you yet. I swear.
I know.
That's right.
God.
See, I always get the Marco Polo messages from Holly on you. So, that's – I always get the –
Yeah,
always
she didn't today. I was saying, 'cause you went with me today, so you didn't get it today. I listened to one earlier.
That's fine.
Yeah, Marco.
Because Holly always shows you when you know, I always get the flash of you as she shows the screen.
Yeah, Tommy, I'll be sitting here at the computers, and Steven's behind me at the computers, who's the share of the office. I'll be talking to David. I'll be like, we're here working away. There's Steven back there in the background. Lots of caffeine.
Micro
There's
second
Steven.
Flash.
he's a blur.
Yeah, Tommy, you don't want to do Marco Polo, because you'd see me in my disheveled state with my uncombed hair and looking frazzled and tired and sitting there with caffeine, working on Indie Author World. It's dismaying.
Well, David gets to see that with me. My hair's up in a bun and got my old lady reading glasses on.
The glamorous world of the publishers. Yes. Yeah, the
Yay!
Glamorous world.
Yes. See, I get to see behind the scenes. I get up
exactly.
to see the stuff most don't.
That's it. That's it. You get to see how morose it really is. He gets the true picture. It's like candy.
I think there's something I've seen on the internet that has a picture of someone holding a bottle of cheap liquor, and it says vagrant, and then right next to it, author, and it's the same picture, but he's wearing glasses.
So you saw my picture on the internet, Tommy?
And I said, hey, that's Steven Zimmer.
It would most likely be true. Absolutely.
He'd have a bottle of cheap bourbon, though, in one hand. I guarantee it.
Let me tell you, though, there is no magic bullet. It's sweat equity. It's tedious. It's hours and hours and hours to even have a chance in this realm. So, no, it's not glamorous, by God. So, it's tough. Yeah, so that's reality.
Yeah.
Well,
that's the
real
world.
Things happen. Sometimes you have to immerse yourself in the trenches and do the work.
That's it.
I will say that bourbon has extra qualifications over whiskey. So there is no such thing as just cheap bourbon. There's less expensive bourbon, but all bourbon is definitely at least good or better because it does have high standards at the very least.
That's true. That's true. That's true. All bourbon is whiskey, but not all whiskey is bourbon.
Right. Now you got it. And be glad, Tommy, because if you ever have to gift shop for me, it's the easiest way to give me a present.
Yep.
So very, very easy.
Yep. For his birthday last year, he ended up with like 6-7 bottles of bread. And I'm like, oh, boy.
Oh,
well,
it's great.
Oh, boy.
See, look at that. I'm shamelessly lobbying Tommy for a Christmas bourbon gift. Look at that. I am shameless.
Yeah, listen to this.
Yeah, I was going to say, hint.
Yeah. Hint.
Ended up with about 6 bottles of Blanton's.
Yeah. Oh, if you sent me 6
bottles of
Blanton's.
Well, we had all of these left over after Imaginarium, so.
If
you send
me 6 bottles of Blanton's, Tommy, I will promote you every day next year. I will put a promotional post for you out every day next year if you send me half a case of Blanton's. That's a case.
I bet you
that's
would.
That's a case. Six bottles is a case.
Yeah, 6 is a case.
Yeah.
Because that's what we get for Imaginarium. But let me tell you that we didn't get Miss Abigail Keems to her before Imaginarium ended because she ended up having to leave. So we had to sit this bottle of Blanton's on our dresser and look at it. That's Imaginarium until, what was it, Monday? Monday, when we actually took it to her. We hand delivered it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I want you all to know if you want to know about integrity, me, I'm a bourbon fanatic, and I have had a bottle of Blanton sitting on the dresser in front of me since October. Since October, and I didn't touch it. I delivered it, as promised to Blanton's, to our Imaginator guest, Abigail Keem. This past Monday, which was December the 18th, and there you go, folks. That's integrity. That is integrity.
Yes, it is.
Yep, it's been too much.
Yeah,
we almost died in the process. You've got to hear about Steven's Fast and the Furious driving stunt.
Oh, this is the Hollywood stunt maneuvering I've been hearing about.
Yeah, Tommy, whatever project you have going next year, you want me driving because I can save your ass when you get in the pickle. Because we were going around a curve at the top of the hill in a rural area, okay? So if everybody knows about rural roads, I mean, know what I mean. So we were going top a curve, no guardrail, steep embankment off one side.
Yep.
And for some reason, I wasn't speeding. I was driving a Ford
car. It was just wet enough.
Because yes, I hate to tell you, but the Indy authors don't drive Ferraris. We drive Ford Tauruses. But I was driving a Ford Taurus at the top of this hill, and the back of the car slides out suddenly. I mean, it's like we hit a patch of ice or a oil slick. I don't know what
oil
we hit.
Oil slick
but
or something.
But the back of the car just totally slides out. And so I end up,
we're going down the hill sideways.
Going down the hill sideways, and the car is moving. I mean, to me, it's like slow motion. But I didn't panic. I didn't feel my heartbeat didn't even go up. It's crazy.
Neither one of us even said anything. We just sit there.
We didn't even say anything. We didn't make a noise.
No.
But it was like, but I simply I locked the car in because I knew that I had to keep it on the road. because if we went off the side, we would have definitely tumbled down this embankment, like flipped completely. And so I had to keep it on the road. And so going down the hill, I locked it tight because I thought, okay, I'll get it in a tight spin and it'll keep it in the road. And it did. It kept it in the center of the road, and obviously it used both lanes. But luckily, no traffic was imminent. But at the bottom of the hill, there was a white pickup truck coming far down, and they weren't in any danger of getting hit right away, but they did see everything transpiring, and they did come to a complete stop. And so anyway, we came – the car spun about a couple times, and we came to a stop. And then I was able to back up, right the car, and just drive on. We just drove off like nothing happened. And when I got to the bottom of the hill and passed that guy, this guy, his face was about pressed against the window, and his eyes were like big as you could possibly get, staring at me like he thought
what
I was
did
like,
I just witness?
What the hell did I just see? And that's what we go
a complete 360 coming at me.
That's right.
Yeah,
and that's what we do.
Hey, the Blanton's
was
at my foot,
do.
And I kept it protected.
Well, you know, I'll have to get you to do that again and get it on video next time, and we'll put it in the feature.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I got three cameras. Let's set this up.
Yeah.
Now, if we could,
that would be
we
awesome.
Could go viral, and we would make so much money on YouTube.
Oh, I know. I should have videoed the whole thing, you know. And what's so funny, though, neither one of us hollered. I was just like... Oh, because nurse mode kicked in, and I thought, okay, if I tense up, because I knew we were going to flip. I knew it. I thought, this car's going to flip down that embankment. So I thought, if I tense up, I'm going to break a bunch of boats.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, I'm just going to stay calm. So I did. I just stayed there holding my phone, had the Blantons at my feet, and just stayed calm. And here's, magic stunt driver Zimmer.
Well,
and,
there's the whole reason you didn't go over, because he knew he had to protect the Blantons.
Right.
Exactly. It wasn't me. It was
the damn
bourbon.
I will defend
bourbon.
The bourbon, by God.
I have to say, you people did well not to open the Blantons right after that incident.
That's true.
Hey.
That in itself was a
thing. You want to know the truth, Tommy. Abigail, when we met with her and Peter, her lovely husband, we were offered a drink of that Blanton's, and I actually did not take it because I wanted her to enjoy the whole bottle.
Mm.
We drink mimosas.
That's integrity.
We did have
that. That is integrity, by God. I got my integrity card stamped like 20 times that day. But
I believe it.
But I will tell you, man, it was something else. If you had seen it, I mean, I was going about 40 miles an hour. You would have thought
that's crazy.
You'd just seen Fast and the Furious. I mean, it was
that's
awesome.
True.
I mean, I was actually kind of like, damn, that was pretty good.
It was scary. When it was over, I said, whew, that was a little scary, Steven.
Yeah, she did. I thought, damn, that's pretty good. I did pretty good.
Yeah, he's like all impressed with these driving skills. And I'm like, that could have been really bad, Steven. He's like, damn, did you? I was like the Fast and the Furious.
I felt good because I knew that I could approach Tommy to be his driver on his tour next year with that incident. Because Tommy wants people that he could stand next to in a firefight. That actually could be
that's
cool.
It.
We're talking like Rush 1984, Grace Under Pressure, baby. You know, right like that. Grace Under Pressure. So that was.
Well,
I'm
like
not kidding, though.
Like you had a nice audition, so maybe we can fit you in.
This is the second time I've been in the past year that I've been in a harrowing situation and kept my calm, because the other one was a when we thought the house was being broken into at about 3 a.m. and we
really
we had
uh-huh.
the back the,
yeah.
Our alarm system goes off, okay, at 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I get up with my good friend, Mr. Ruger, who helps me out in these
and
kind of incidents.
And I get the ball bat.
And she has the ball bat. And we circle around to the kitchen, and she's at the kitchen side. And I curl around to the other side because Mr. Ruger can get a better look at what's going on there. And as we're moving out toward that area, we hear this Back door sliding open. Back door sliding open. Sweet. I mean, there is no question.
That's right.
We think a home,
home
invasion is going on. Neither Holly nor I panic. We're in complete calm, completely fine, and we're just cool as can be. And she takes up at one door, and I crawl around to the other side, you know, to get an angle on the back door. And it turns out that a frickin' sensor came unglued and fell down. And
yeah, but I said, damn, they sure picked the wrong house, because they was either going to get a ball bat to the head or it's going to get shot first. So, yeah, it wouldn't have been pretty. I sleep with that ball bat right underneath my bed. I'm ready. I told Steven my injury is going to hurt a lot longer than his.
but
he just
going to
shoot him.
I am lobbying to be your guy on your tour because I keep cool under pressure.
Steven, we have a caller. We have a caller.
Oh, we do. Okay. Are we bringing a caller on?
Yes.
All right. Caller, you are coming aboard now. Welcome, caller, to the Star Chamber Show.
How's everybody doing? I've been sitting here listening to y'all having fun. I just couldn't stand it any longer.
That's
Daniel!
Our Christmas special, baby.
Yay!
Yay!
Hello, Daniel. Been hearing all about your book here.
Daniel, meet Tommy B. Smith. You know David.
So, mark that one down on my list here.
You definitely got to add it to your list. So, how is Daniel feeling tonight?
Been a whole lot better, been a whole lot worse. So, we're still alive. That's all that matters.
That's all that matters. That's the main thing. You live to tell another tale.
Yep.
I got to have that brain crack, you know.
Yes, we do. It keeps Holly sane. Please send more, David. Daniel.
Daniel's writing, in case if people don't know out there, we refer to it as my brain crack because Daniel writing his Ripper stuff keeps me sane. So if that tells you anything about, you know, my psyche, yes, I have to have this stuff.
It does. And I need peace in this household. So please send more, Daniel. I need it.
I'm trying to. I've just been out of just a few weeks. But we're going to get back together.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll get it. We'll get it taken care of. I am too. When's your next book showing, your author signing or whatever?
The next one that I've got scheduled right this minute is on the 20th of January in Nashville at Barnes & Noble. So.
Okay. So hopefully, you know, you feel better by then. And I want to give him a shout out because he just had a birthday over the weekend. So happy birthday.
Yes, birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah,
he just
turned
20. 21.
Yeah, 21. 21.
I turned 20 for my third time, so.
Jack the Ripper could finally drink Jack Daniels. All right.
There you go.
Legally.
Legally. And he does live in the state of Tennessee, so.
Yes, and I am.
That's why
I am actually a
squire. I can't be a colonel, but I can be a squire.
He can be a squire. He can't be a colonel, but he can be a squire.
Yeah, we can give him a pass since he's actually lives in Tennessee. We'll give him a pass on the bourbon thing, but
where'd he go, Daniel?
And right now, Steven, you're going to have to drink all my bourbon for me. So.
Yeah, he can't drink right now.
Well, I'm sure Steven can do that.
Man, how many of you are going to give me your shares? Man, this is tough. This is tall order here.
But if it's not done by the time I get well and everything, it's all out.
I'll do it. Don't you worry.
He brought some to Imaginarium. It was called, White Rabbit? Jack Daniels? That's it. Oh, it was good. It was actually, and I don't like whiskey, but it was good. It really was.
Yep.
Did you try it, Stephen?
I can neither confirm nor deny that I like that, but I cannot say that because I'm a Kentucky Colonel.
Did you get a chance to try it, Stephen?
Yeah, I have. It.
Oh, my God. Tell him this. That was the night of the seven bourbons.
Seven
whiskeys. The last night seven of Imaginarium, whiskeys. Seven whiskeys. He had seven different whiskeys.
Yeah. Yeah. That was.
I only had two whiskeys, and I was feeling good.
Can you name the seven whiskeys in order?
Oh, Tommy. I know I had Woodford Reserve. I know I had Jack Daniels. I know I had Bullet Rye. I know I had Old Crow. I know I had Larceny. I know I had, that's five, I think. I would have Jim Beam. Was it a Jim? It was a Jim Beam.
Yeah, there was a Jim Beam.
Jim
so
Beam Black.
Six.
And then the
Did
last
you have any
blends? One. No, unfortunately, we had to honor our commitment to Blanton's and give to the people that it was designated to. And I had integrity.
Yes. We had no extra.
We had no extra.
There was no Blanton's.
Torture. It was torture.
It would be given to the people.
Devil's Cut. Jim Beam's Devil's Cut. Yes. That's it.
That's what it was.
Oh,
got it.
We could have snuck next door and got a drink off of Michael Noss. He would have shared his Blanton's with you.
And Old Forester's 1870. So it's Jim Beam's Devil's Cut, and then it was Old Forester's 1870. That was the seven bourbons and whiskeys.
Yep.
That was it.
Yep.
Got it.
That's it.
There you go, Tommy.
That's
so
nice
he says next year he's got
to
do eight.
Seven whiskeys.
Yeah, they want me to do. They want me to do eight next year, Tommy. You better bring the big show then.
Well, you'll have to do it.
It's got
to
be worth it.
I think we should be able to fit that in.
Yeah.
I'm sure there'll be lots of goings on. Should be interesting trying to fit it all in.
Yeah, your rockumentary Road to Imaginarium with Tommy B. Smith. It's got to end at the night of the eight whiskeys.
All right.
The night of the eight
whiskeys. I may get more pictures I won't be able to show next year.
Oh, dear God.
That's true. That's true.
Trust me, when I get to the end of the Imaginarium and it's Sunday night and everything is completely done, believe me, I can go. I can do eight. I'll be all right.
And I'm ready to go to bed. So I stand for a little bit, and I'm like, no, I'm ready to go to bed. You all have at it.
we can do the night of the seven cigars and eight whiskeys then.
Oh.
There you go. I'll be outside smoking cigars. I'll be outside with the cigars.
Seven cigars, eight whiskeys.
There you go.
That's right.
Well, that's
man.
What me and Daniel and the Colonel and Kylie and Carl Moore had the Jack Daniels White Rabbit and had a cigar that one night of Imaginarium.
That one night.
Saturday night. Yep. Yep. That was nice.
I had
nice.
To be good till Sunday, but I did, thanks to Elizabeth Donald and Literary Underworld, I did get to have a drink of a 47-year-old bourbon, and the name of it escapes me right now, but I did have a special bourbon on Saturday, but it was only a drink. I had the seven whiskeys with Sunday night after all was said and done.
Right.
You can get some pappy.
I wish.
Oh, man. That would have been great.
We can't even seem to win the right to buy Pappy here.
No, we were in a raffle, but we didn't win.
It's a raffle not to win a bottle of Pappy's, but to win the right to buy a bottle of Pappy's.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
And we didn't even win it. We didn't win the right. That sucks. Have you ever tried Pappy's, Daniel?
Back years ago when it was just, you know, it wasn't what it is today.
Right.
It didn't.
What about you, Tommy?
No,
you mean David? You haven't?
No, I've never even heard of it until now.
Oh, wow. Well, it's like the creme de la creme as far as bourbon right now. It's very elusive and hard to buy. It's hard to find. And what is it, guys? Like $50 a shot or something? Or
Yeah, a couple hundred a bottle
if
you buy it retail.
Yeah, it's
you buy
it's
at liquor store. Yeah. But, Tommy, if you want to buy me a bottle of Pappy's, that'll suffice for a case of Blanton.
Boy, you just keep moving up and up.
Yeah, you just keep going up the food chain.
No, it's actually less. Six,
not cheaper.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Six bottles of Blanton's is actually a little more expensive than one bottle of Pappy's. So I'm actually giving Tommy a deal here for my Christmas present.
Well, after the feature comes out and I'm sitting on giant piles of cash, I'm sure I can throw a few that way and hook you up.
Hell yes.
There you go.
One or the other.
I am.
Once we're all rich and famous,
I'm glad to know authors that actually make money, like Tommy B. Smith. Because the perks are great.
He's rolling in the cash. Man.
Rolling in the cash. He's like a cyclone of cash in his region.
Well, Tommy, give us one little marketing tip then from your genius.
Marketing tip. Well,
let's see.
He's not gonna share that with you.
Oh, come on, give us one you can share, not one that's a secret.
Well, let's see. I think being who you are and engaging, those making connections along the way with readers and fellow creators alike, that never hurts. Building relationships, making connections, rather than running around shouting, buy my book at everyone.
Yep.
Tends to work a little
better.
Exactly. Thank you for saying that.
Thank you, because we say that all the time.
No, because that's actually how I met Tommy and came to love him was at Mid-South Con when he was not one of those buy my book people. He actually was engaging and personable. So, and won me over till this day. And if he gets me a bottle of Pappy's, guarantees the rest of his
be a lifetime,
more,
right?
Yeah, a lifetime. He's right, though. He is right.
Yeah, that's what we try to tell everybody. And Daniel does really well at that. He's very good at engaging people, you know, striking up conversations.
And, you know, walking around trying to push a product off on everyone you come across as just more of a salesperson than a creative. So if you want to sell yourself and your brand, then I think that's important to.
It's actually a fine line. It's like you have to make people aware of what you have out there, but at the same time, you don't want to do what Tommy's saying and just be like, you know, the buy my book person 24 hours a day. It's a really fine
line. I mean, if you're
going
to be an author, you have to be a salesman, but you don't have to be a salesman that's in your face and throwing, you know, putting this shit out people's necks, because your readers and fans like to feel a personal relationship. You know, they like to know the person behind the pen, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, the real person, not the persona.
But wait, there's more.
And you know, obviously, to be in this field, there has to be some degree of passion involved for you to have any longevity whatsoever.
Oh yeah.
So because I've seen numerous people rise and fall in publishing houses and everything else over the years since I've been doing it. And you have to have some sort of staying power. And just being the sort of person who runs around throwing your book at everyone, well, you're just trying to sell a product. And a lot of people just don't relate to that. So it's important to have a bit more something else going on. And that that passion that you do have that keeps you doing this, and it's important to that who you are reflects that to others. So I'd say that.
Yeah.
Good way.
That's true.
But see, Tommy, if I threw my epic fantasy novels at people, I could actually get arrested because they're large enough to actually hurt
them. Would
give
them a concussion.
Yeah, that'd be attempted murder, actually.
So previously I didn't throw it at people just so I could not be obnoxious. But now, because of Tommy, I won't do it. So I, you know, am overbearing on the sales front. You know, I'll make sure I. Hold it back just a little bit. Don't wing an 800 pager at somebody. maybe I'll throw one at Tommy to see what his reflexes are like at the next Imaginarium. So you all need
there
to go to Imaginarium to see if that happens.
Well, I'll have the cameras rolling, so we'll be ready.
I'll have to
there you go, David. I'll have the picture.
I'm ready for it.
Well, Tommy, that's one way you can get your new books. Just keep them every time you have one thrown at you.
That's true. That's one method.
I think that next Imaginarium, we all need to gather at Tommy's table and throw books at him, and he'd keep them. So I think that would make for some great video for YouTube.
It's raining books. We'll have a book riff. It's raining books.
We'll go and throw books at Tommy. And you can keep them. We're going to throw them at you.
And I just try
we
to remain
conscious. We put it in some kind of dunk tank, you know.
And gather up
like,
all my
like,
reading material after it's done.
Yeah.
Provided I am conscious.
Oh, now there's
after
the Imaginarium Initiative. Imaginarium Initiative booth.
There
Tommy
you go.
Can
throw
do
books
the
at
dunk
Tommy.
Tank, like a dunk tank, but instead, you throw books to try to dunk Tommy. And every book
try
that
to dunk
thrown
you.
In, we donate. We donate to the initiative.
Well, you would probably get a lot of donations that way. People could throw books at me.
I would actually stand there for at least half the day, at least. Eric would probably volunteer for at least a third of the day, so we got most of the day covered.
Yeah, that's true. And then Tommy gets to take his turn at you two. So there you go.
Ah! Oh, my God. Right. Holly throws me under the bus and volunteers me. Oh, my God. You just made Tommy's day. He's been dreaming of dunking me. He's, since that fateful day at MidSouthCon, Tommy has been dreaming of the day he could get me on a dunking booth. Oh,
and
God.
And throw books. And then the night of
hey,
whiskey
why not?
Immediately afterward.
You're
yeah,
giving
I'll
me ideas,
it.
Guys. You're giving me ideas.
Oh, my
well,
God.
Probably no one will be left conscious by the end of it all. But
you do know that Holly makes these things happen. Beware, Tom.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
And if you fill the tank full of bourbon and everything, Stephen will dunk himself.
That's true.
Probably.
Well, you won't even need to throw a book at the little lever there.
He'll
just jump on in. I'll go, he'll say.
Oh, God, the colonel will be fighting to get in there, though.
Well, that's true. They're authors. So, all authors. So there'll be a lot of fighting to get in there. That could cause a mob. That could cause a riot,
or
man.
You're going to have to keep Tony Acri away.
Oh, no kidding. Oh my God!
Oh, he. I think he's intending to behave at the next Imaginarium. So yeah, we maybe
we'll
Tommy and Tommy and Tony will have to watch over us all, make sure we're okay.
Tommy needs to be on that panel. Tommy, can I nominate you for that panel?
Actually,
why?
Well, actually, that I that ironically, that would be a cool though to have Tommy moderate it as a non-drinker and actually moderate the drinking panel.
That's
awesome.
True.
I could.
He could actually moderate it because he'd be the sober one.
We have to have one adult in the room.
It makes more sense.
Well, yeah. Well, I am an occasional drinker, but I'm not like you guys.
We got to have one adult there, at least. Yeah. Well, cool. Holly and Tommy, let Tommy moderate the next one so we have one responsible person on that panel.
Gotcha. Yeah, because the Colonel I had moderating the last one, and we've seen how that turned out.
I was just thinking people
to the next panels. I was walking people, you know.
Yeah. That was a wonderful disaster, but it was great.
It's a shame I missed that one. I heard a lot of stories. I actually think I had sort of a panel at the same exact time, or I would have come in to see and witness
you
all
did not,
the antics that I heard
God,
about
Tommy,
later.
You would have, we throw Imaginarium to amuse you. That's the true secret, Tommy. But this panel alone would have amused you.
Yes.
I bet.
And I did learn. Well, I learned not to put it at like 4 or 5 o'clock. Put it at the end of the day, you know, like the last panel. Yeah, I learned. Yeah.
We'll schedule it better next time, I think.
Yes.
Well, next time I'll have to take the picture at the end of the session.
Yeah.
Take it before
definitely.
And after.
Well, if Tommy moderates, at least we'll have somebody that's alert looking.
Do what, Daniel?
He needs to take the pictures throughout the session, after each shot.
That's true. Before and
after.
Well,
we're going to try to record a few sessions, so maybe that'll be one.
Oh, God.
That
one
will publish. We may not want to put that one online, but.
No, but we'd like to watch it. We could sell it, you know, underground.
Oh, I know.
Use it as blackmail.
Yeah, that's true. That'd be a good one.
You guys are really thinking, though. I like this.
I tell you, I make these things, like he said, I get these thoughts, I make them happen. I figure it out.
That's right.
Watch out.
Oh, man.
Like they said on set when we were filming, they were all like, well, you know, I come up the motto, and then they were all like, if Holly can't fix it, she'll find somebody who can. Damn right. Yeah. That's how I roll.
Also, this will be Imaginarium's 5th year, so.
Yes.
Tommy,
fifth anniversary,
I'm so glad you pointed that out. That is our first milestone. We have made it 5 years. Five years.
Yep.
So
yep.
That's going to be epic.
You need to bring my bike with me so that they can try riding the bike after each shot.
Yep.
Oh, my God, that'd be great.
And everything about our 5th year is going to lead to Tommy moderating the books and booze panel. Everything's going to concentrate right to that moment. I'm already throwing my hat in the ring for to be on that panel. Tommy's moderating. I'm in again.
All right. Yeah, that was the first time that Stephen had done a panel at Imaginarium.
That's true. And I got free drinks for doing so.
And I told him he's got to be on that panel.
Yep. Yeah, because usually I don't do panels at Imaginarium because obviously I have to actually be responsible. But it was good to get a mid-afternoon drink courtesy of Eric Jude. So it did help. It helped me get through that Saturday, which, trust me, was a long day. If you're an organizer,
that was
a long day because, oh my God, we got the award ceremonies that night. Let me tell you, on the organizational side, that's a lot to take on, but that was beautiful. And with Tommy moderating, we're going to knock it off out of the park. It's going to be awesome.
Well, sounds like we have a lot of interesting times to look forward to for 2018 on the Imaginary.
That's true.
Definitely.
Make sure I get at least two rounds of drinks because I'll need it by that time of the day.
Well, I'm going to make sure I schedule it at the end of the day. So, yeah.
Yeah. God, I'm excited about Imaginarium. Usually as an organizer, I'm like approaching with dread, but I'm actually excited. Tommy B. Smith,
well, this
moderating.
This is actually
awesome.
One panel I'll done have all figured out before I ever even start the panel grid.
You're going to have to host this in the event room because there's not going to be enough seats in the panel room.
That's true. I'm going to have to go
word
big.
Gets out. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
If
I've got to go in the bigger rooms.
If Jessica McHugh comes back this year, it's over. I mean, it's going to be off the charts. It's going to be awesome.
And Daniel will be able to drink by then. So, see, there you go.
There's your Christmas gift, Tommy. You're moderating. That's your Christmas gift.
There you go. Merry Christmas,
right,
Tommy. Got
well,
roped into that one.
That to look forward to.
Designated moderator.
It'd be an interesting hour.
Yeah.
it'll be so interesting. It'll send you through your Sunday at least.
We'll probably have about 100 candidates for the panel though. So.
I know. I know. Everybody's going to want to be on it. I'll be like, nope, I done got it now. I done got it all figured out before I even hit the survey.
Commercial opportunity.
I done got this.
We'll let them buy their way on. We can pay for Imaginary 2018 by selling spots on that panel.
I got two open slots. Who wants them? Yeah.
You know what? You know something that occurred to me that might be interesting is there's a caffeine and creativity panel in the morning. I remembered.
Yeah.
You could put books and booze panel first thing in the morning and caffeine and creativity at night. Switch them around and see what happens.
You are nefarious, Tommy B. Smith. Oh my God. You rascalion,
awesome.
You're up to no good.
Get them all confused.
He doesn't want me showing up to any of the rest of my panels that day.
Apparently.
Yeah, be down for the count, man.
I'm
a drunk
people.
Ripper and everything else. Daniel's falling off if he's biking.
A drunk ripper.
I'm a drunk ripper running around.
Ripped. The ripper is ripped. That would be awesome.
Absolutely. Everyone downing bourbon 9 or 10 in the morning and then trying to drink coffee at 7 o'clock
in
the evening, I guess.
This is why I love you, Tommy D. Smith. This is why. This is it.
So
David, you better get ready to snap all this, I'm telling you.
Well, I shot 32 gigs last year. I'm thinking I'm going to probably bring you like 120 gigs this next year.
This panel, yeah. Oh, my
yeah, you're
God.
Gonna spend 32 gigs on one panel.
Yep.
And get Daniel driving drunk and everything else.
Well, at least we have our first moderator figured out for a panel. That's good.
Yeah,
we're
thank God. Thank you, Tommy, man. I tell you, that's one thing off the list.
Well, we'll see what happens.
We will make sure you deeply regret being on this show tonight.
Apparently so.
Well, we have 44 seconds left. Oh, my God.
Oh,
I got to be responsible here. Tommy, how do we find you online? You are the best.
Well, you can find me at my website, TommyBSmith.com, and then Facebook, author Tommy B. Smith, Twitter, Pen of Chaos, and that's me.
He is
that's
the
him.
Best. Once again, he
and the
delivered
rest of
an
us,
epic holiday show. Oh, my God.
And the
God.
Rest of us, 7starpress.com.
That's right. And Christmas, everybody. And thank you for tuning in. And we will be here next Wednesday with our pre-New Year's Eve show.
Yes, pre.
Well, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night,
everybody. See you next
week.
Everybody.
See you later. Bye-bye.